Since the beginning of time, man battles questions as to how to survive this crazy world we live in, and only God has the answers to all men's questions. Come travel the roads that leads us to the cross.
Today, O Lord, we are the clay, and you are the potter, and all we are in the work of your hand. That's Isaiah 64:6. There is joy from within as we explore how and why the Lord wants us to understand the purpose and the process for the potter and the clay. We are safe in opening with Proverbs 4:23, a very foundational verse that says, "Guard your heart, because out of it proceed the issues of life." And then in Proverbs, we go to Proverbs 23:7. "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." As we visit today, we need to keep in mind how the potter and the clay relate to the heart of who we are. This is not just a lesson on the facts of how to make a clay vessel. No, this includes the heart. There is a popular, but probably not correct, opinion while on the potter's wheel that God may assist in our development. But we can crawl off that potter's wheel and polish ourselves into quite a nice vessel. In other words, God does the fashioning, but we can have a final choice in our development. That thought should be probably questioned if God is truly our all in all. The potter is molding each part of the clay pot, that is, the base, the container size, the handle, and even the pour spout. There is the ultimate goal of being conformed in his likeness, in his image. When he, God, created mankind before the fall in the garden, he designed man as he intended man to be. The fall temporarily delayed those plans, and now we see the beauty in the potter making the clay to be restored to its original purpose and plan. No one can thwart God's eternal purpose. But just as Adam and Eve in the garden thought they could help the Lord God, they failed to consider that their existence came totally about from any aid of themselves. God alone gave breath of life into Adam's nostrils, and man became a living being. Today, many want to try to crawl off the potter's wheel and fix his creation, but in their own strength. Well, if we try this, the situation brings us to Jeremiah 18:4, where it says, "The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make." Because of Adam and Eve's choices, it produced immediate guilt and wanting to hide. The Father God, who knows all, sees all, and had already made provisions to restore his original plan, even while they were missing the purpose of being in the Garden of Eden. And according to Genesis 1:28, which was, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over every living thing that moves on the earth." That was the goal and purpose. Have we lost all hope of ever being able to realize this in our real time? No. Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that was and is via the Son, God in spirit, coming to earth so man could learn and see their need for being fashioned in a way that he, the potter, wanted. The potter did not need the help of the clay pot, only to be soft enough to be pliable. This is one of the wonderful lessons on why the clay and the potter is of such value. Our path, via the cross, is where all matters travel to the finished work of the cross. The road passes by the potter's house, where it is fascinating to watch sensitive hands work with clay from the earth to fashion vessels that are made for use and practical purposes. And some even more, some designed for their beauty. But some are ruined and destroyed in the potter's hands to be made differently. Now, it's still coming from the potter's hands, but change is being made while on the wheel. The old way was being crafted for a better design and purpose. There's a few lessons that we can start to apply even with this simplicity. Let's go back to Jeremiah, the passage we find the vessel being molded was marred, and instead of throwing it back on the earth to return to dust, he refashioned the clay into something of worth. Spending the necessary time pouring into the clay water and pounding it to make it pliable, ready for a new beginning. The skill was all of the potter's doing. The clay, having the water added, accepted the new pliability in being made into a new vessel. Has this illustration not shown us some examples of our own lives? This process of the clay and the potter may take days, weeks, months, or years as the softening process is taking place. We can study the life of Jacob, where for over 20 years there was pouring and pounding until his heart softened, as was much needed, until his deceptive ways to make things happen himself yielded, and he became submissive. And now how about Moses, a friend of God, but spent a generation in the desert to learn true meekness? We also learn from Moses that keeping watch over our hearts can never take a vacation, as we see him in his old age, getting upset and allowing his flesh to rule and reign in frustration when striking the rock instead of speaking when water was needed. This account is in detail in Psalms 106. The people angered God so that it went bad for Moses. When the people rebelled against God's spirit, but Moses spoke rashly with his lips. This is a sobering yet needful chapter worth a quiet time and study to remind us the virtue and the vital values of finishing strong, but with a broken and a contrite heart. God had a right to be angry against the people's sins, but Moses' anger was in disobedience to Moses being obedient as God's representative, God's spokesman, expressing God's righteous character. Now, part of our being here is to be a living witness and a testimony to God's character, His personality that reveals perfect love, and we need a healthy dose of respectful fear and never giving God a bad name. And we can give Him a bad name with our choices in our own character. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts." Yes, breaking old patterns, old habits is not easy. And staying too busy may overtax a person's emotions, overloading the thoughts in their brain. So we have the exhortation in Psalms 46:10 that says, "Be still and know that I am God," has much merit in being fashioned into a vessel of honor. Now in James 4:6, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The Lord will not throw His clump of clay away." He will allow circumstances to pound out the heart to once again become soft and pliable. Just look at how many times the Lord allowed famine, hardships, separation in relationships, and captivity to open the eyes and the hearts to see the faithful drawing of the Father's heart in His purpose for making the Israelites a people, a nation, Israel. And one day, still He will come with honor and complete those promises He gave to them as a nation. He will come and will honor and complete those promises. God is not done with His beloved nation, His people, Israel. Many believe that God is through with Israel, but the prophets and the last book of the Bible, Revelation, chapters 19 to 21, reveal a different story. In continuing man's question about how the potter shapes all, let's look at Romans 9:21. "Does not the potter have power over the clay, from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor?" Yes, he does, because of his sovereignty and purpose in creation. He has the right to determine the roles and the destiny of individuals within humanity. Some may be called to a more noble purpose, reflecting God's grace and mercy. Others may serve in other roles, as there are consequences of human choices in relation to divine sovereignty versus man's will to choose between right and wrong. So that we may not tread that bumpy road that weaves a continuous cycle of going around and around, causing our hearts to become hard, let's just take a look at some of the ways we can get off onto a detour, or the way that we can get through a winding maze that leads us nowhere. One of the first things that we need to consider is the tongue. James 3:2, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in a word, he's a perfect man," that would be a mature man, "able also to bridle the whole body." Now, staying in chapter 3, verses 5 through 18, "The tongue is a little member and boasts great things. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell." And still while in this same passage, it says, express the need to have a good conduct, and if we fail, bitter envy and self-seeking in our hearts will result in boasting and lie against the truth. Now, this is earthly wisdom and does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. And when I say demonic, I'm talking about how we think in the natural man here on earth. This is not a declaration of a wild man running around with no clothes on, as we see in other illustrations in the Gospels. While self-seeking and confusion will result in every evil thing that exists, we need to make sure that we are looking at the wisdom that God provides, not man. Many are turned off by the term demonic. We want to make sure that you understand that these roots are not other than just simply thinking earthly. Proverbs 6:16. Six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. These include a lying tongue, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren, brethren being family. Also in the same chapter, it speaks of a flattering tongue with the principle of seduction. However, there is also a tongue that is a double tongue, speaking one thing to sound good, but not heart. Just spouting out words to sound good. Some people may call this two-faced or being a hypocrite. Along with the tongue is having an elevated view of ourselves when pride, arrogance, resists the washing of the water from the Word of God. Many know and quote Scripture, but with hard hearts. The head knowledge is there, but the heart is closed, no longer pliable. Head knowledge alone is no good. Even the demons believe, but they have such a hatred of the true God that they will never submit to the truth. They are blinded by hard hearts. And then as we look at the things that can draw us away, we can never throw away the word rebellion. Rebellion comes in many forms, but in preparing today's visit, I read that all words of rebellion are found only in the Old Testament. That may include procrastination, stalling, waiting to complete a job or a matter. All have their root in rebellion, no matter how subtle. Since Jesus Christ is to be our all in all, and He paid the price on the cross for our deliverance from condemnation and the power of the flesh, we have no excuse to live a life in open or subtle rebellion. No room for me, myself, or I being the dominant pronouns in our focus on self. Jesus Christ is truly our all in all on why we are here in time and space, preparing forever to be in His presence. Now, to balance out the rest of the story, the cross became the greatest moment in our history. The potter has been carving and molding out his plan as he brings this time in history to a close. And that is described in detail in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And then in Revelation 4 opens up the next time on His eternal plan for us. We may all be assured that all roads throughout history find the assurance and hope for now as well as eternal by appropriating Romans chapters 6, 7, and 8. Remember Hebrews 4:7. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Today, men and women do have questions that only God can answer. One of those questions is, can God use me when I have so messed up all my life? We need to remember that the Lord said nothing is impossible with Father God, and He delights in transforming lives. So in visiting about the potter and the clay today, there are many points that we can really ponder. We see why He is never in a hurry. He who is in control of all still allows the clay to be marred. Why? Well, possibly it is a way of explaining the sanctification process of life. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." May we consider the many trials of growth as a part of the potter making us into a vessel that will be used forever to glorify the work of His hands. What is difficult to grasp as we travel the crossroads is to see and sense the multiple processes He does for the finished vessel. What we haven't touched on today is the heat application of drying the clay to get all the moisture out and the vessel completely dried out, because otherwise the moisture will cause the pitcher to explode when the heat is fired up. This can be a gradual increasing of the heat. Now, in our own lives, this illustration is particularly pertinent for our own growth. The potter is constantly placing his focus on every step of the clay, from the lump of the clay into putting us into service for which we are created. 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that all surpassing power is from God and not from us. This treasure is Himself in ordinary pots, those of us who have been fashioned by Him, not the great intellectual, the special wisdom of the universe, but of those of us who may be a little rough around the edges and in our schooling. Our lives may be hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We may be perplexed, but not in despair. Even persecuted, but never forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus Christ may also be made known in our body. To summarize, let's stay off that bumpy, uneven road as we are being made in His likeness for His glory. 2 Corinthians is a good way to end today when we say, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's study to know and apply the truth. It will set you free.
Crossroads with Jane Wassliff. For more resources, go to sharedhearts.org/ crossroads.